Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1.
So, why refresh?
Honestly, because I believe that's how they will feel at the end of the show. Refreshed. Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome you to Refresh, hosted by NHISG Sports Media. My name is Regina Johnson, and I'll be your host for the afternoon. But before we get ready to get into the show, I dare not exit out without welcoming our live studio audience to Refresh.
Opportunity to welcome you to Refresh. I'm Regina Johnson, your host of the hour. I'd like to give a quick shout out to my girl, Princess Cooper of NHISC Sports Media. Today, we are going to have a very interesting show. We have a panel of 10. We're going to discuss our past week's events, what has happened in Missouri, what has also happened right here in our own backyard of Dallas, Texas. I stand corrected. Minnesota. We're also going to discuss what has happened in Baton Rouge. And so I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome our guests here on this panel with me. We have Jonathan Davis. We have Anthresia McWashington. We call her Sugar. So if you hear me say that, that's who I'm referencing. We're Sharika Reed and David Reed. We have, I call him Bookie, so that's probably what's going to happen. All right, Marquise Sneed. We have Tracy Ford. We have Teresa, went blank. We have Teresa and Joe Stademeyer. We also have Amantre Sneed and Jordan Johnson. Why don't y'all give it up right fast for... I need to get down to business, but before I do, I'd like to welcome you to not only just joining with me here at the show, but I'd also like to welcome you to be my guest on Facebook. Send me a friend request. Keep up with what I'm doing through the week. You can also reach me on Instagram and Twitter. It's Journey Strong. Instagram, it's Regina Johnson. Also, I have an incredible book that I have been sharing with everyone for almost about a year. It's called Unstoppable You. I'm not telling you to get this book because it is mine. I'm telling you to get it because it's good. Unstoppable You will help you for the next phases of your life. And you can reach that, or you can purchase that book on Amazon or on Lulu.com, also on Barnes & Noble. Now, here back with the show, we're going to talk about these things. We're going to be very honest. And so let's ask those of you that are listening, just kind of hold on to your seats, because there are some things that I think we need to honestly discuss concerning all these events, how it has affected us. We are here in Texas. So if you listen to the show, we're coming from a small town, but doing big things. I call Conroe, Texas, about 35 miles outside of Houston, Texas, about another 3-4 hours away from Dallas, Texas. And so when things are happening, like what happened in Dallas, and then in Baton Rouge, we're only about maybe about 5 hours away. Now, when we start saying hours here in Texas, 5 hours, we can travel from our end to the other side of Texas and not be out. So when we say that, it's not really like we're saying we're really far away. We're actually very close, and we actually travel to Baton Rouge. Many of us have done it probably a few times in this year. And so we're close, and these things have happened, and we are affected. And so, Sharika, we're going to jump right in. I'm going to kind of bring you and David in on something you said today to me, David, or not to me, actually, to the body when you were speaking. You said that fear wanted to come in after you heard about what happened in Dallas, or was it just what happened in Louisiana, or just everything?
Really, it came after I saw all that had happened, putting them all together. I like to research and figure out what's going on. And while I'm doing that, I realized the first thing that, because I didn't say earlier, is I realized that I started looking at it from a natural perspective
yeah, right,
of being
right.
a, you know, being a black man, being
uh-huh.
a young black man.
Right.
And then, you know, I took a pause and started looking at it from the eyes that I've learned over time. And that's God's eyes, how he sees everything. But just really just this fear. I mean, just this strong sense of fear came over me. You know, we drive a black Suburban, you know, and it's huge. It's really dark. You know, and I had this fear just come over me, like, oh my God, what if I get stopped now? You know, what if I'm over in this side of the town? Because, you know, our church is in
the hood.
You know, and our church is in the hood. And I'm thinking that, you know, I go by and I talk to this person in our church, and I go by and I talk to that person in the church. And so all this stuff
it's
starts
a very
going.
Sketchy
it's a very sketchy area, you know.
Right.
And so the just fear just really gripped me. It's like, oh my God, you know, how should I respond if they
right.
stop me? Or what should I teach my son? Or what should I say to other people? And just all these things started going through my mind.
Did you think that now it's very possible that what I'm seeing happening, that it could happen to me?
Yes. And yes, I did. Like, honestly, just had that moment, like, what if I am in that situation?
Now, because you're unable to see our panel ranges from the age of 51 to 16. So you're going to hear perspectives from all ages as well as different ethnic backgrounds here on this panel. And so I just wanted to share that because you'll be hearing how it affects those of us that are younger and even older. So when you said that, we have men as well as women on the panel today. So when you said that, how many other men did that just kind of unnerve you? What about you, Amantre?
Well, when I was looking at everything just unfold, I can't say that there was some fear there because, you know, I live out in Magnolia, right off of 1488. That's a predominant Anglo-American white area. So we just had a sheriff drive through our neighborhood a couple of days ago, too. So it kind of put some fear in me, too, because, you know, I'm living in a predominantly white area, so I don't really know what's going to happen, you know, when I get home, or am I going to get pulled over, or what am I going to do? So, yeah, I can understand. Let's see.
Joe, you want to share?
What hit me when I first seen the video, I've seen posts on Facebook, and I'm like, what happened that I watched the video? And the first thought that hit my mind was, not again. Not again. Because every time I've seen this, it's like there is just a ripping and a tearing in the fabric that has bound us together.
Now, when you say not again, what are you referencing?
Well, it's every time a scenario happens like this, Freddie Gray, this entire year, it's like there is a tension that rises, and I'm a white male, but I don't care what color you are, because if I cut you, you're going to bleed the same color if I cut me. It don't matter.
Right.
So it's just like there's this tension. All of a sudden now that, you know, maybe a friend of mine, I'll run into him in the grocery store, and all of a sudden, you know, he's a little tight in his chest. And all of a sudden,
Is it like this? It created this whole thing? Like, how do I even respond to people that I'm normally comfortable with?
Mm-hmm.
Teresa, did you feel that Joe's actually is white? How did that make you feel? Just, you know, did it make you nervous?
How did it respond to me? Could be different,
yeah.
As of what's going on,
right?
But
and when you said they, like your friends,
yeah.
That are not
mm-hmm.
white,
right?
How are they going to respond?
Right? How are they going to respond to me because I am white?
Right. What do you feel like you dress?
Right.
Right.
But I have to I'll overlook that.
Right.
Color is not a thing to me. It didn't bother me.
All right. Enthusiast, sure. Today, just like when you came. Or we're not even talking about that yet. How did this make you feel when you saw it on Facebook or when you saw it on, what was it, YouTube? How did it make you feel about the shooting in the museum?
Honestly, I didn't watch the video the first couple of, I actually didn't watch the video of what happened in Louisiana until I heard about what happened in Minnesota. And I refused to watch what happened in Minnesota because I had just went ahead and watched what happened in Louisiana. And when I watched it, it made me, I guess, confused about why these things are still happening.
Right.
For me, there was no sense of fear. And I know I hear a lot of people talk about, like, their family members that may be black or family members that are white or family members that they have in law enforcement. But initially, I didn't think about those
all of those states.
I was just wondering, just confused.
Like, why?
And what? Angry, but not angry at any group.
Right.
Angry that it's continuing to happen. And like Joe said, just ripping the fabric that has been put together through effort, like the relationships that I have with white people or Latinos. It's like, how is that going to be affected now because of these things that aren't even a part of my community?
Right, right.
But it's like now there's going to have to be a discussion. It's like it's forcing these things to come to the table to be talked about. It's like we can no longer ignore them.
Right. Okay. Jordan?
I mean, for me, when I first started hearing, like, all this happening, I didn't want to watch the videos at first, and then I ended up watching them. And I guess it did feel like a fear in me, but it wasn't for me. It was more for my father, because my father is in law enforcement. And then I started thinking about that. And then I also thought, you know, my boyfriend's father is also in law enforcement. And he was telling me how, like, he shouldn't be scared when his dad goes to work now.
Right, right, right.
You know,
because were you nervous before when your father went to work?
Not really. Like, even though I know what he deals with and he kind of explains to me, I never really was, you know, that nervous about when he goes to work, because he doesn't really traditionally wear, you know, a police uniform. He just, you know, has a badge. He doesn't really look like a street cop, because he's not. But now it's just, you know, that a target has kind of been placed on, like, police officers, and it's really scary, because my dad does have a badge. He is law enforcement. And then for my boyfriend's father, who has to, you know, who wears the uniform and is a street cop, it's, you know, it's really scary, because what happened in Dallas, from what I heard, it was, you know, completely innocent officers that got
based on that. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Sharita? Just to kind of
reiterate
what Andrecia talked about, we were actually in Dallas, Fort Worth area this week from Tuesday to Thursday.
Right.
And we actually left Thursday night coming back and during the day, we heard about, you know, they're doing a protest. But, you know, not really thinking that it would turn out to be what it was. There wasn't really a fear for me. What it was for me, what popped in my mind is that law enforcement is, in a sense, a peacekeeper type of organization. They're the ones that keep peace and enforce rules. And so, you know, if there is this thing in law enforcement where you're not the peacekeeper anymore, then for citizens that rely on you to keep the peace, then there comes this natural fear that, well, then if you're not protecting or you're not the peacekeeper, then most people take on their own attitude of defense. And so I think that's probably what bothered me the most is that, okay, now how many other people, just regular citizens, police officers, that'll try to take things into their own hands.
That's a good point that you're making. So I'm not saying that you're saying this, but I'm asking a question. Do you feel like our law enforcement are not gradually not becoming peacekeepers?
No, I think they are. I still think, you know, the majority of law enforcement does a great job on peacekeepers, on peacekeeping. But unfortunately, we have those individuals. And it's not just in law enforcement. You have individuals that respond that way in many industries. It's just sad that it is in law enforcement,
right,
because then you get this ripple effect, and then you have this thing to where you just try to make it all, and it's not all. It's an individual choice.
Right. We're going to take just a quick break here in just a few minutes. You have been listening to Refresh. I'm Regina Johnson, and we'll be right back in just a few moments.
The word of God is truth, And if he says that he will never leave us, if he says that he is perfecting the things concerning us, then you best believe that he is. We serve an awesome God who loves us more than we could ever imagine. So to my brothers and my sisters, let's gut it up. Because the outcome is going to be great.
Don't miss Refresh with Pastor Regina Johnson every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central.
Quick question. What is your kryptonite? You know, kryptonite, like from the Superman movie. Little pieces of krypton that will fall to the earth and then Superman will come in contact with it. Kryptonite. Okay. Small pieces of your past falling into your future, robbing you of your destiny. Kryptonite? What is yours? Is it the person down the street, you know, so conveniently always is willing to remind you of who you used to be before you were redeemed? Or is it the memory of a place where you were broken when you were young? A bad marriage? Bad circumstances? I mean, I don't know. Today, I want you to identify what is your kryptonite. Once you grab hold of it, you reduce it to nothingness. Because the season of living a defeated life is over. It's time for us to live unstoppable lives.
To order Unstoppable You by Regina Johnson, go to Lulu.com, Google Books, and Amazon.
Back to Refresh. I'm Regina Johnson, your host of the evening. Again, like to recognize NHISG Sports Media, in which our show is being broadcast from. Another quick shout out to Princess Cooper, my girl. Thank you so much for everything. Today we are talking about it. What is it, Regina? We're talking about everything that has been happening here in our nation over the past week that we are greatly affected by. Things that have happened, the killings in New Orleans, as well as what has happened in Dallas, as well as what has happened in Missouri. And so we're going to jump right in. Minnesota, why do I keep saying Missouri? Please forgive me and thank you for helping me with that. Minnesota. I'd like to also acknowledge all of our panel here that's here today, ranging from the age of 51 to 16. We have Jonathan Davis and Jordan Johnson. We have Anthresia Mike Washington, Amontre Sneed. We have Teresa and Joe Stademeyer, Sharitha and David Reed. We have Marquise Sneed and Tracy Ford. We'd like to welcome you guys here on Refresh. Before we went on break, we were just discussing how you were feeling and how you became, it makes you feel uncomfortable. Jonathan, you want to just jump right in here. Now, you are the youngest on our panel. You're 16 years old. How does it make you feel?
It's just like when my father told me when the shootings happened and, like, the first one happened, you know, I felt like this kind of stuff is just happening more and more. And I was just talking to my dad, like, if this happens, you know, if this continues to happen, something real bad is going to happen and nobody's going to know what to do. Yeah. And as soon as I said that, the Baton Rouge shooting happened and then the Minnesota happened. And we were just on this silence, like nobody knows what's going to happen. And then just the next day, the shootings in Dallas happened. And I remember, like, my dad told me, there was this guy who put out a tweet to our local police station, and they said, what should we do? Basically saying, like, what do you want us to do? And the police tweeted out, stay inside. Don't do anything.
Wow.
And so that's sort of like, because I drive where I need to go. I can drive. I go where I need to go. But then it made me feel like I'm already scared driving. I don't like driving, period.
Right.
But then after this, you know, happened, it's just like I can't go anywhere with my friends. I can't do anything. I stayed in house for like 3 days straight because if they weren't looking at me more before, it's on a whole new level now. it's almost like a feeling that they want you to have something on you. It's like when they come, when they pull you over, it's like they want it to happen. It's like they want to be proven. Not everyone's like this, but they want to be proven right. They want to be proven that, well, he does do this. They do that. They do have these in their cars constantly. It's not just paranoia. They do have it. And some people do have it. But there's a way to deal with it that just doesn't happen. And so, you know, I go out there and I'm driving. I can't reach for my license to pull out to show them that I have it, because apparently I'll get shot if I do that. I put my hands out and comply. I get beat if I do that. So there's no real answer for anything that I can do to help my situation. What am I supposed to do to help my situation?
Marquise?
Yeah, and you know what, hearing from Jonathan, at his age, when you kind of look at what's going on in the world, that ignites that fear, you know, something like that, you know, of driving kind of, you know, just with your friends and being with them, feeling that you're a suspect, I guess, before they even pull you over. I think that's where he's coming from. For me, just kind of with everything going on, when I first initially saw the videos and things like that, my first thought was, wow, great, you know, finally we have like a video of something that's going on, you know. But initially, you know, after that thought came into play. I'm like, okay, I started thinking about what Joe and Shu was talking about, the division that's created.
Right.
You know, the problem that intensifies. And the vibe that's created when you go around your friends that are, you know, a different color than you are, you know, and it's just, you know, knowing that issue has to come up and just that divide,
right,
that it creates.
Right. I'm going to ask you this question. How did you feel after you saw the video, but then you get the report yesterday? The young lady might not have necessarily been completely honest in her statement of the young man that was shot in Baton Rouge. How did that make you feel when you received that information? When they said that he didn't have his weapon, but then that she said that what she had said, her initial statement, was not true. How did that make you guys feel?
Basically, for me, it was like, at that moment, what is the truth and what's a lie?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, so do we have all the information? Do we not have all the information?
Right.
You know, are you telling the truth or are they telling the truth?
Right.
So it gets you back to the initial place to where when you first got shocked that it even happened in the first place. So now you have going on. Now you have, oh my, what is really happening? We being lied to. This case to where,
right,
you know,
right,
they're trying to put this filth into our hearts and our minds to, like Joe was saying, to snatch us apart. Is this really happening?
Tracy?
Well, when I first heard about it, because I don't have cable or anything, so I don't watch news or anything, but when I first heard about it, I was shown the video of the one that happened in Louisiana, and just saddened. It's just a saddened feeling, sad that things like that still happen today. And I had just watched the week before the movie of Oscar in the Fruitdale, that shooting with the gentleman in New York, and then turn around the following week and the same thing happens. It's just very sad. And then I can see fear on both ends. I see fear on the side of the citizens that's happening too, and then I see fear on the sides of the officers as well. It's dividing the two. You don't know who you can count on or who you can depend on.
Right. Joe, I see you nodding your head. What would you like to say?
Well, it's that now there's a, if you look at the officer's standpoint, they're on a state of high alert now. No matter what they do, they're wrong. If they pull you over, they're wrong. There is such backlash that comes from one statement, what they do, one thing wrong, That's the reason why everybody's getting the cameras now, because if they do one thing wrong, they're terminated for whatever. Now, at the same time, if they pull someone over and they really do have, it's really going to take it to that next level, then what's going to happen? And to me, it's like there's fire after fire after fire being lit, and it's there's so much discord being sown inside of that realm that the public cannot trust the police officers, and the police officers cannot trust the public. So now, no matter what they do, it's on Facebook in 30 seconds or less.
Right.
Somebody's got a video camera. Somebody, and if one rookie cop makes one mistake or says one thing, that's it. He's done. And in the same instance, the gentleman that had the CHL, he had everything perfectly legal. He had everything, and the cop was so nervous that he made a mistake. And when it comes down to a gun, you can't ever say you're sorry. And he made a mistake that now he's going to have to deal with. But at the same time, that you have, it's like that fire, it's you just threw more diesel
on top
fire.
Of it. And 3 cents? What Joe said makes sense. But my question is, how do we put the fires out? Like, how do you open the door for me to have a conversation with a law enforcement officer without them being on guard? Or can an officer approach me without me being on guard? I've never been, I guess, educated. I don't even know if it's necessary for me to be educated on how to speak to the police. But I feel like now it is like I have no idea. It's like I feel like I should be able to come and talk to them like I can talk to Sharitha or David or even you. Like, but there's a fear of how I'd approach an officer, especially with everything that's going on nowadays.
I think that the fear I feel like it's a natural thing that's a part of this where everybody's unsure. I think from my perspective that we have to all be, I think, mindful of. One is that we have to remember that, and I'm not making any excuses, you know, for law enforcement, but it's like what I was sharing. I think I was sharing with you earlier when I was saying that, you know, when it comes down to a police officer, because what happens in a normal household is that you don't know the stories
right.
of law enforcement.
Right.
You don't, you know, you don't know their friend that was just shot and killed. You don't know the one that walked up to check the door. Joe and I've lost two close friends. One went to a door, knocked on the door, and was shot with a shotgun. I mean, at first introduction, he was shot and blown off the porch and killed with, like, only a couple of weeks of retirement. We had another friend who walked up because someone's car was, appeared to be like it was, something was wrong with it. And he walked up to the door to help the guy, and before he could even get it out, and it was all caught on radio, he just reaches his gun, shoots him, and throws him into the woods. And so, you know, you don't know what the stories are a lot of times. And so I think when you said educate yourself, I think that's something that we all have to do. I also think that we have to think of police officers as trained professionals, yes, but also they're people. And so at the end of the day, the goal is to protect you and to make it home.
But with events that take place like this, I think it creates like a cloud.
Uh-huh.
And
I agree.
The fear is what occurs initially ahead of like I want to talk to you. I know you're a person, and I want to have a conversation. Just hi,
right.
How are you doing? What's going on? Because I know you're a person.
Right.
But the fear comes up, and I'm wondering, what are you thinking? And I'm thinking about what I'm thinking, and
right.
then I don't know what to say.
Hey, look, we're gonna pick up with that. I think that's something worth us visiting. Maybe we need to have like a summit and sit down and talk to our police officers. We can't do it for the nation, but maybe we could do it on a local level. You're listening to Refresh. Give us just a couple of minutes. We're gonna step away and take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
The word of God is true. And if he says that he will never leave us, if he says that he is perfecting the things concerning us, then you best believe that he is. We serve an awesome God who loves us more than we could ever imagine. So to my brothers and my sisters, let's gut it up. Because the outcome is going to be great.
Don't miss Refresh with Pastor Regina Johnson every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central.
Quick question. What is your kryptonite? You know, kryptonite, like from the Superman movie. Little pieces of krypton that will fall to the earth and then Superman will come in contact with it. Kryptonite. Okay. Small pieces of your past falling into your future, robbing you of your destiny. Kryptonite? What is yours? Is the person down the street, you know, so conveniently always is willing to remind you of who you used to be before you were redeemed? Or is it the memory of a place where you were broken when you were young? A bad marriage? Bad circumstances? I mean, I don't know. Today, I want you to identify what is your kryptonite. Once you grab hold of it, you reduce it to nothingness. Because the season of living a defeated life is over. It's time for us to live unstoppable lives.
To order Unstoppable You by Regina Johnson, go to Lulu.com, Google Books, and Amazon.
Good evening. We are here. We're at Refresh. I'm Regina Johnson. I'm your host, ISG Sports Media. And we are sitting here in a small summit of 10. We just had another one that joined us. How are you doing, Rob?
I'm good.
Great, great, great. I'm glad you're here. And our summit ranges in age of those that are here on our panel, actually a panel, of from the age of 16 to 51. And even ethnic backgrounds are different here on this panel. And so we are discussing what has happened over the past week. We are here in Texas, and so Dallas is not very far from us, nor is Louisiana, based on where we are located. Pretty quick. You could get to either one pretty quick. And it is very disturbing. It's disturbing to our nation, but we are really feeling it here this close. And so before we took the break, we were just discussing how communication can be different, better maybe. What do we do with relationships of the police and us, the citizens? When we look at the situation in New Orleans, how do you feel like that could have, I mean, just based on what you've seen, what would you have liked to have seen happen different? I mean, other than him being shot, what is it that makes it uneasy for you when you look at that situation? Anyone?
I think just kind of going over what happened, the initial call was because there was someone, some disturbance outside of the convenience store, and some guy was waving a gun. And so when the police arrived, then whoever fit the description that was called in, that's kind of where they took off from. But of course, in a situation like that, you would assume that there would be some type of investigation. Like, I wouldn't automatically assume that just because you're 5'7", dark complected, with short hair, and there's someone else that meets that description, I shouldn't assume that that's okay, this must be the individual. And then for someone to say, okay, well, they're waving a gun around, initially, if I'm investigating the situation, I should, okay, let me see, does this individual have a gun? Does he seem to be disturbed? You know, and so this particular individual was actually in the store. The call said that there was someone outside of the store. And so when you hear those things like that, the initial thing is, okay, so was this about color, or was this about assumption, or, you know, what it was about? And so it makes the individual, you just say, okay, well, maybe if you had to investigate it just a little bit more, maybe if you had not have been so on alert, or maybe if it was the area that you called to, you're already
in
assumption.
The area, I think,
yeah,
the area really,
yeah,
it kind of bears you know, witness to really what it could be.
Yeah.
And so if you're a police officer working in that, and I'm not defending them, I'm just saying, but if I work in, like, I'll give you an example. Like, we live here in, our church is in the hood.
Right.
All right. So it's just certain things you do and don't do, like down here. It's,
right,
it's just real. And so when we call the police, you know, and we say somebody broke in, I had like a dang SWAT unit here when we,
right,
said somebody was in our church.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like off duty, on duty, you know, used to be duty, whatever. They all showed up. And I was grateful because it was someone hidden in our church,
mm-hmm,
that broke in. Somebody watched them crawl through the window,
mm-hmm,
and it broke into the church and was in the baptismal.
Mm-hmm.
But it just so happened that the guy that had broke in, he was here eating. But let me tell you what they did. He was hungry. And somebody said, oh, and the police came. Yeah. But he, by night, he breaks into buildings and robs. So they knew him.
Right.
I was like, oh, don't take him. We need him on jail. He's still. He was sitting in the car with the cuffs, and I'm like, going, no, don't take him. They go, no, we've been looking for him. He's robbing everybody. So anyway, go ahead. You were getting ready to say something, George?
I think, well, my initial reaction was when I saw the video, like, yeah, it was really, like, disturbing. The whole picture, not just the video. I want to, and just like the other video, we don't know what took place before that happened. So it's easy to, you know, point fingers and point blame when you just see the point of the video. And yeah, I can clearly say that, you know, officers are wrong in the, and like, you know, you can say, oh, the officers are wrong in this. But what we people don't really think is there's way more than what the video is showing. Like,
yeah,
what happened before that took place? You know, because there's different, you know, sides. Once it, people saying he was inside the store, some people saying he was standing outside the store selling CDs. Some people say he was outside selling drugs. Like, you know, it was a bunch of different things, you know, going around in the air. But when no one, you know, few people know the real actual story.
Except for the ones that were there and him, unfortunately.
Right.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, tag on to what Jordan was saying. Like, we do have to know, we have to understand the entire story. But like you were saying, like the area that he was in.
Mm-hmm.
So the area that he was in could have fit the description that the guy, like whoever called, and he could have fit that description due to the area that he was in.
Right.
So
right.
I think that, like,
which could have been multiple people,
yeah, could have
been
that multiple
would fit
people.
That description.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, and...
Go ahead. No.
No, I was just saying, like, you go to a certain area, and, like, I'm not going to lie, like, when I go to the Woodlands, if I think about the Woodlands, I automatically assume, oh, this is a rich area of town. There's a lot because of what I see, right?
Right.
So if I'm coming somewhere else, some hood or something like that, because of what I see.
You're saying you see hoodness right here?
Yeah.
Okay. No. All right. Go
but,
ahead.
But because of what I see, like, there's already a stereotype that's already there.
Right.
So, yeah, I just think about that because what if, like, when they approached him, he probably was automatically thinking, oh, they think I'm doing something. They think I'm selling drugs. They think
right.
this. And then they were probably thinking, well, he probably got something on him
right.
due to stereotypes of
yeah.
the
right.
areas that
yeah.
they were in.
Right,
yeah.
right, right. And so we go from Baton Rouge, and then we go to Minnesota. We go from Baton Rouge, and then we go to Minnesota. And what does that do to you? How do you feel? What did that, I mean, really, that initial word, we're here, people are protesting, and then what? Right?
Yeah.
David?
For me, it made me say yes to something that I haven't wanted to say yes to.
Which was?
Which was, this actually does happen. It's true that it does happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it made me say, okay, you know what? It does happen. Because I grew up in a very small town, country town, and you just white, black, just color didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't matter to us.
Right.
So seeing it, it made me say, okay, all right. I had to face the fact that this is true. This does exist. You know, there it happens. And so when I faced that, then it made me go to the place, and I heard the mayor of Houston, he put it so plain. It was so good. So he charged the people of Houston to not look at the offense of one individual and condemn a whole group of people.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just simply, he said, it's not fair and it's not right.
Right.
So after I saw that, then I saw the video, and it made me put things in perspective. Like, okay, yes, this does exist. But at the same time, you know, it's like you said, officers are people.
Right.
You know, bad citizens, they're people too. But the fact is, you know, they're all people. And
right.
and when you're dealing with fear,
right.
you know, Joe said something earlier and it made me think about it too, is that, you know, what if the officers are fearful
right.
of these type of individuals?
Then they need to be in another
then they
there.
Do.
Yeah.
They do. They need to be in another area. But are they willing to go to their bosses and say, hey, I'm fearful of the things that go on in this area? So they operate from a place of fear.
I think there's a natural something that kicks in when you see people that you're working with dying and that you know the stories. You know, you don't have like the nurse or the teacher that just got shot down. I think there's this natural, you know, apprehension whenever like you're approaching a car, you come in and see, because they go to work. And that's one thing that we have to know. Police officers go to work knowing there's a possibility they may not come home. I'll be right back in just a few minutes. This is Regina Johnson. You are listening to Refresh.
The word of God is truth, and if he says that he will never leave us, if he says that he is perfecting the things concerning us, then you best believe that he is. We serve an awesome God who loves us more than we could ever imagine. So to my brothers and my sisters, let's gut it up. Because the outcome is going to be great.
Don't miss Refresh with Pastor Regina Johnson every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central.
Quick question. What is your kryptonite? You know, kryptonite, like from the Superman movie. Little pieces of krypton that will fall to the earth and then Superman will come in contact with it. Kryptonite. Okay. Small pieces of your past falling into your future, robbing you of your destiny. Kryptonite? What is yours? Is the person down the street, you know, so conveniently always is willing to remind you of who you used to be before you were redeemed? Or is it the memory of a place where you were broken when you were young? A bad marriage? Bad circumstances? I mean, I don't know. Today, I want you to identify what is your kryptonite. Once you grab hold of it, you reduce it to nothingness. Because the season of living a defeated life is over. It's time for us to live unstoppable lives.
To order Unstoppable You by Regina Johnson, go to Lulu.com, Google Books, and Amazon.
About what if the police officers, what if they were nervous? And so I'm sharing, yeah, they probably are. They probably are because in no other profession do we see our, like, you know, here at the church, we don't have people like, we don't walk out the door wondering if we're going to get shot going home. I don't go up to you to pray for you and wonder if somebody's going to whip out a gun. Maybe I should now. But I don't naturally. You know what I'm saying? You don't go to school, maybe you should, you know, to teach in your class wondering, you know, like, am I going to make it out today? You know, you don't go to the hospital wondering if you are, you know. You don't go to your building, your profession, you know, in a corporate wondering, am I going to make it home? Yeah, those are things that we have to honestly consider. I know those are things that we don't want to talk about. We want it to just look like it's just here, but we have to look at it all. We have to look at it all. And I say this to you too, Jonathan, as being the youngest one on, is that it is important that you have a clear understanding of really what's going on and that you do not operate in fear because fear will get you shot. And so don't be afraid. Let God, you know, I'm just going to say it, let God order your steps, give you wisdom and understanding. Because as we were saying before, during the break, that all lives do matter. So we go from Minnesota, and then we have Dallas. Somebody want to speak on Dallas really quickly.
For me, it kind of hit home. I mean, just for the simple fact that it's, you know, 3 hours down the road. But my younger brother is going to junior college in Mesquite.
Wow.
And initially, I guess that's, I mean, the suspect.
And Mesquite is like, Mesquite, just, it's a part of the Metroplex.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And I guess the guy who they're thinking, you know, shot the police officer, I guess he's from Mesquite.
Wow.
You know, and for me, it's kind of like, wow, you know, he's right down the road in the area, you know, that this just kind of happened. You know,
right.
It kind of brings it to home, you know, like, wow. Because you, when you see this stuff on social media, it's kind of, it affects you in a way because of your culture and your background and who you are, you know, your race. But at the same time, it's kind of sometimes it's far out there, you know, so it's right. Kind of like that really can't happen to,
let
you know,
in our
environment.
Let me ask you a question, and any of you can answer this. Did it affect you the same way Columbine affected you?
No.
No.
Why?
It was just different, I guess. That wasn't police officers with a citizen. That was a citizen against citizen.
Okay. So do you feel like the police were against them?
Well, I feel like, well, no, I wouldn't say against. I would just with the circumstances and what happened, I think mm-hmm. now that everybody is on this more alert, you know, mm-hmm. stance mm-hmm. now, it's bringing that division mm-hmm. between us.
What about, not just Columbine, but what about, oh my goodness, I just went blank on another shooting that happened. What was it? Yeah, the gentleman at the church last year, when he walked into the church and he killed, like, people in prayer. How did that affect you? And I know today we had set guidelines and we were just talking about, but do you feel like there's, like, this slow build of something?
Yeah. It makes you so sick.
It makes you sick.
Nauseous to think that people have this intent to kill this certain group of people just because of a minute part of that organization.
Right.
Like, these are innocent Dallas police officers that were protecting other citizens when the shooting started happening.
Right.
It was a peaceful protest. And because of the way this guy came in, just like the people in church, these are people worshiping and
right.
just hanging out together and
right.
separated from outside everything.
Right.
They're coming here to unload, just like the people at the protest. They're just coming to dish out how they
right.
feel.
Right.
And
they
target.
Have the right to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's a target on their back.
Right.
And they
right.
don't even know it.
They don't even know it. Yes.
I think that's, that's how I feel that Columbine and then the church shooting, this all kind of are connected in a way, because if you think about it, it goes into a person coming in with that mindset
mm-hmm.
saying, I feel this way, so I'm going to take it out on this person. I feel like that's what all those shootings have in common. Because the guy at Columbine, you know, he felt victimized by the people at his school, so he felt like he was in the right to shoot up his school.
Right.
You know, I ended up watching a documentary on that, and it turned out, like, the people who did the shooting, they were harassed every day, and they felt like they were right. Same way, the shooter in Dallas was like, you know, I'm standing up for my people, so basically it's going from a weird way of people thinking that they're, you know, right, and they're in some way avenging themselves or their people.
We don't have, like, a lot of time left on the show. I see your hand going up, Sharita. I'm going to go ahead and give you a couple of seconds. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, what Jordan said is that I think that's the thing out of all of this that bothers me, is that I would rather it not be portrayed as it's a color thing or a race thing, but more of that it's an individual that has created this scenario in their mind and in their heart.
Right.
And so they have determined that this is what I'm going to do. It goes back to, it's an individual choice. It has nothing to do
right.
with the color of your skin. It's just a preference of my own, a choice, whether I hate, you know, because you're a Christian and not a Jew, or I hate you because you're Chinese and not Indian. It's a
right.
choice that the individual has made.
But the individual.
Yeah.
So why has it become like a whole,
right.
like, race thing? How
exactly.
did that happen? I mean, this is like about cops, and it turned into white cops.
Exactly.
Like, it's some brothers. There's a whole bunch of brothers on the force in Dallas.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, are you afraid of just the white cops? I'm speaking to just everybody here. You afraid of, Joe, you're white. Are you afraid of white cops? Montre, are you afraid of the white cops?
I'm more
black?
Afraid of the black cops than the white cops.
and you know, that's true.
Right. I feel like some, you know, African Americans, they feel like they have
right.
a point
they
to prove.
They automatically judge you.
Like, a point to prove.
Is it because they know you?
No. They know you're black. They stereotype just like everybody else.
Right.
Especially if you're a Roddy.
Are you kidding me? We have 1 minute left?
We
have 4 minutes left. Okay.
I think it just goes to show you, like, people generally get the information off of social media.
And that's
about it. But it shows you how social media can create like so much
mm-hmm.
propaganda to where it's twisted up,
mm-hmm.
and it just creates a cycle
mm-hmm.
where you thinking, you know, you're just creating this division between black and white people.
Right.
It's a backdoor.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say just a backdoor off of what he said. Social media is not a forum to talk about issues as deep as racism,
prejudice
in any form.
No.
And so somebody writes a short little 3-4 sentence thing, and
right.
you
and
have no idea.
Right. Yeah. What were you getting ready to say?
Going on back on what you were saying, like, you know, why it had to become like a race issue, I think it's because that's what they wanted it to become.
Oh,
yeah. Because back when, you know, bring it back when all the, you know, Trayvon Martin stuff was happening, around the same time there was a autistic kid who was shot by a black male
around the same time this was happening. Black male saying he was, you know, defending himself, but he was in a car and he shot an autistic kid. But that really didn't cause the reaction that the Trayvon Martin shooting happened when that happened. So it wasn't, the media didn't pick up on it.
Okay, so we are identifying that really they're trying to spark a flame to start racism. Is that what we're saying?
Absolutely.
Is that what you feel is happening?
Yes.
Yeah. So this is the question. I have like about 3 minutes left. And so I'm going to give you each one. If we identify this as this thing trying to stir, and can we just also, it's kind of how we're feeling, or some, you're feeling a little bit different, you can stop, right? Yeah, are we all kind of feeling like that?
Yeah.
Like something stirred, being stirred,
right.
like you know,
right.
that it's really creating this
racial
ripple. I'll just say
right.
that.
Yeah.
It's creating this racial ripple to bring division,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that was my concern about our church. We're a multi-ethnic group.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's probably grammatically incorrect. And so I didn't want the enemy to be able to get in here and draw like a line and say, okay, well, you're gonna be over here and then we can't talk, we're gonna have relationships. I'm like, the devil is a liar. So I'm just gonna go around real quickly. What do you feel like that, I mean, just like maybe in 5 words, what do you think needs to happen? We have 2 minutes. Go ahead, Jonathan. Or what would you like to see happen? Go. Do you like
back.
At the funerals?
Come back, see me.
Okay, go ahead, Sharita.
Heart-to-heart conversation.
With who?
With everybody.
Okay, Sharita?
Just a united front of unity of citizens.
From whom?
Citizens and law enforcement.
David?
I would say the same as Sharita.
Mark Lee?
Say heart-to-heart conversations and sit-downs that where both sides can talk on their point of view and yeah.
Okay. Rob?
Just basically what they said.
Okay, you're like booted out of the group. Go ahead.
I just think that everybody needs to come together and not try and make it a black or white issue.
Yeah.
Just an issue.
Teresa?
Know who's behind it all.
No.
Yeah. Come on,
Joe?
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
Go with Teresa, because that was pretty
co-sign,
good.
Co-sign with her.
That was pretty good.
Know who the enemy is.
The real enemy.
Yeah, yeah,
and
real
see
enemy.
His
yeah.
plan for what it really
yeah.
is.
Yeah, right.
Is to kill, steal, and destroy.
And destroy. Mantra.
Humility and honor.
Humility and honor. Jordan?
Address the heart issue with the people, not a race issue.
Yeah.
All right, great. Hey, look, guys. We're going to talk some more about this. And I pray peace over our nation.
Mm-hmm.
And... man, for God to come in and for him to let himself be known. I'm going to challenge all races to stand up today and be counted, that we're not going to allow the enemy to come in and destroy us and rip us apart as in times past. We are beyond that place, and we're not going back. He's not going to interfere on the inside of us, not in the younger generation nor in the older again, because there are older people now that are shaken because they're being reminded of things that have happened in the past. And we pray a cover over our, not only our black males, but over all males and girls. I mean, when they start saying black, our black sons matter, our black daughters matter too. And so, hey, look, guys, you've been listening to Refresh. I'm Regina Johnson. Join me again next week at 6 on NHISG Sports Media. Thank you. You're listening to Refresh.